Adults with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds. Today, our topic is Angels Speak to Us. Channels have tried to hear them. They've shown up on film on rare occasions. But until now, they've remained a mystery. Listen with us today as some of the Masters share their experiences and deeper knowledge about the angelic kingdoms, the purpose they fulfill within the cosmos, what their lives are like, who are the angels of the throne, and much, much more. Although there is so much to know about these beautiful beings of light who work by our side to promote the smooth unfolding of the evolution of awareness, a glimpse into their realms is rare. They are much expanded, as someone would be that is very right brain oriented. Therefore, they aren't particularly good with instant analysis and decisions. Let me give you an example. I contacted the Archangel Mi. Mi is spelt M-I, concerning a problem with a small group of the fairies. Mi is over all divas and fairies of any kind. I told him what the problem was and asked him to propose a solution. After a long silence, he said, "How do you do that?" I asked what he meant. "How do you power think the way you do?" I explained to him that humans were the problem solvers of the cosmos, according to what my star brothers had told me. In fact, they had said that two Earth children wanting the same toy did better than most elders in other star races in settling disputes. It was the gift humanity gave the cosmos, problem solving. I could see I had put me on the spot and offered to come back the next day. But this continued for 4 days, at which point he apologized for not being able to think more quickly. I told him that if he did think the way humans do, he wouldn't be expanded enough to feel the well-being of all the trillions and trillions of creatures under his care. One forfeits power thinking for the sake of expansion. I proposed a solution. He told me which part didn't feel quite right. They're very, very feeling oriented, you see. I agreed, amended it, and having reached a consensus, he implemented it. Angels often travel in pairs, or in even-numbered groups. If they are personally assigned to a human, they may travel alone alongside their human. They get married and procreate, except there is no pregnancy according to the ones that I interviewed, because the baby immediately follows, instantaneous creation. I asked them what the difference between seraphim and cherubim were, and they said, "Seraphim are six-winged adult angels. Cherubim have four wings and are infant angels." Now, we have often been asked what exactly the role is of an archangel versus an ordinary angel versus a diva. So let's just pause for a few minutes and take a little look at exactly what these beings do. Now, they help in every aspect of life, but archangels distinguish themselves in the following way. Either they are angels that step light down into energy and then into matter, so they are, in fact, transmuting. Light will pass through their bodies or their fields that are around their form, and it will step down to levels at which we can access it. This function is primarily that of archangels. Secondly, angels that oversee large groups of other angels or represent archetypal facets of the cosmos. For instance, let's take something like one of the facets of one of the goddesses. We've spoken about those, and we'll actually, in one of our future programs, delineate exactly what they are. But there are 13 facets or archetypes of goddesses. Angels may represent the function of those archetypes. So when they represent a portion of the cosmos like that, they are also archangels. Angels could be personal. You could have a guardian spirit by your side, or you could have a guardian angel by your side. Their functions vary slightly. Spirits will help with more practical aspects. Angels will help more to create different emotional feelings in those around you. They will assist to remove energy blocks, and so forth. Then, below the angels, but of the same evolutionary line, are devas. Devas are, you can say, halfway between fairies and angels, though fairies are regarded as a different kingdom. The devas belong to the angelic kingdom. For example, I had a situation in my garden where I called upon the diva, which is like a smallish angel of the garden, to assist me. I had asked the diva to please make flowers grow spontaneously, keep my bushes trimmed. I did not have the time to deal with garden work. My garden was the most beautiful that it had ever been. Then one day, I called again for this little diva of my garden to ask permission to cut the ivy back from the top of the chimney. We kept having chimney fires on top because the ivy would dry out from the heat and then a spark would make it catch flame. So I said we needed to trim the ivy back, and I showed exactly where. As I was communicating, a little whiff of smoke-like substance, it's actually called ecoplasm by the masters, appeared in front of me. I communicated my request, and in my head I heard, yes, I will instruct the ivy to withdraw its life force to the area to which you want to cut. And then it moved slightly to my right and disappeared. This little puff of smoke, if you will, of course it isn't smoke, it's ecoplasm, was about 2 feet high and about 9 inches wide. And unfortunately, I couldn't reach there. I had to hire somebody to come in with ladders, and they slaughtered the ivy. That was the end of my flower garden. The flowers died, the fairies left. There was a rebellion. In some way or another, I was perceived not to have kept my word. I cried. I went around the garden and put crystals in my bushes and, you know, all sorts of things that I could do to show them that I really cared. But that season, there were no more flowers. So this is how the hierarchy of the angels occur. Now, interestingly enough, as many of the masters and immortal beings that have come onto this show during the last weeks have explained, as of February 2005, the Earth had begun, with the cosmos, a massive evolutionary leap called ascension. And it is continuing to do that. There has been great opposition, but bit by bit it has been removed. Part of this evolutionary upward sweep called ascension was that the Mother Goddess, creatress of all that is, had at some point given every single being a emotional feeling body. Many races didn't have them. Next week we will be looking at star races interaction, and I will share with you some of the extraordinary interactions I've had with the star beings, and we'll talk about why there's no longer hostile abductions and things like that. Many of these races, for instance, the Andromedans that had contacted me and continued contact for about 9 months, could not see angels. I could not understand this. In fact, they really thought I was making it up. And finally, after a while, I recognized that they didn't have a feeling body. They were highly ethical light beings, but no feeling body. Well, in 2005, Mother gave every race a feeling body, and we discussed some of this in great detail on last week's show, for those of you that want to hear it, on how feeling bodies are given to beings. And when she did, she gave the edict, use these feeling bodies or you will perish as we move up into higher frequencies. It was a requisite. At that time, finally, all races were able to see these angels. Now, there are many different encounters with angels that have assisted people. I have had a mother tell me that her son was in the war and was totally surrounded by the enemy, and that when that occurred, she had a feeling that something was very, very wrong and called mightily upon the Archangel Michael, who is the protector of light. The son himself was saying prayers. He was sure that he had met his end. And he says that suddenly there was a man that appeared with a sword and absolutely cut down the surrounding energy, enemy who came with this very hostile energy and ill intent and was on the point of killing him. At that point, the bodies lay with sword wounds. When the other men from his battalion came, they saw all these sword wounds and they said, how did this happen? And he said, well, there was another soldier with a sword. And of course, he had disappeared. It was the Archangel Michael sent by his mother. They were indeed dead. They had died of sword wounds, but no soldiers had swords. Beloved ones, the angels are among us. We will now take a small break for the commercials, and when we come back, we will invite the Ascended Masters, Bert and Jeannie, the most luminous husband and wife master team that I have truly had such a great privilege of working with. And the Master Jeannie will explain to you about the angelic language.
The book Journey to the Heart of God, Mystical Keys to Immortal Mastery. After 3 months of intense physical preparation, in January 2004, Almian experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for more than the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like the automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it is transcribed. Few who have entered into God consciousness leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of the immortal master, in addition to continued function among the masses. But as a Toltec, Nagua, and seer, Almian's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. It is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. These sacred messages came the true identity of mankind as life beacons of creation and the way shows back to the heart of God. Within this book, some of the mysteries of the cosmos that have plagued seers for eons have been solved for the first time. Never before in the history of any mystery schools have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the destiny of man. With every fiber of our beings and in the depth of our heart's truth, no matter how profound, can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. To receive a copy of this book, premium CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almeyjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
From the ancient source of love and knowledge, the goddess is born to banish the night, to awaken the magic of life once held, flattering hearts will cleanse to the spell. The long night is over, the dawn has begun, upon the earth the goddess has come. To turn the key that turns the page, and ends the darkness of the bygone age. Faun and elf and sylph delight, at the ending of the dark and faithless night. From every kingdom the news resounds, the goddess reigns, and joy abounds.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
We now welcome onto the show someone whom we've had before, the great Ascended Master, Jeannie, and her husband, the Master Bert. And Jeannie has had a beautiful personal experience with her mother, in her passing with angels. And before I ask her to talk about the angelic language, I wanted her to explain that to you as well. Master Jeannie, could you tell us what happened at the end of your mother's life?
Yes, I'd be glad to. I was very privileged. My mother had had a stroke the day after Thanksgiving and was in an in-between state for about 12 days. Then she woke up about 45 minutes before she actually died and was fully present. When she had her stroke, she was paralyzed. So only half of her face could move, but that was the side that she used to answer yes to my questions. So I asked her if my father and Jared were there, and she said yes by scrunching her face. I asked her if all her family members were there, her brothers and sisters, and she again nodded yes. And then I had an angel tuner that I had been using with my mom during that week, and I didn't know whether it worked or it didn't. So I asked her if when I had hit the angel tuner against the crystal, if it indeed had brought in the angels. And my mother nodded yes and scrunched her face. Now you might say, well, was this really happening? Was she really giving me the answers? I also told her what a wonderful mother she had been to me, and a tear rolled down her face. So I indeed know that I had wonderful, wonderful impressions from my mother. She also looked past me. Her blue eyes got bluer and bluer. And my mother was terrified of death. And yet she lay there looking as if she were in Disneyland. She looked past me and I could say, oh, you're watching somebody behind me. And then her head just moved straight on up and she looked overhead and I said, you're watching the beings above. So I had no doubts that the angels weren't there, for my mother's face was just absolutely one of peace and beauty. And I now know that the angel tuner works, so I'm very happy. It just gives me one more way of calling in the angels that have been so instrumental in helping me in my life and in my husband's life and in my daughter's life. So I'd like to just sound the angel tuner for you so that you may hear it.
Then we will call the angels onto our show.
So now I'd like to talk to you about the angel language. Since the recent rise in frequency within the cosmos, some of the angel words and letters have changed. They have no past or future tense. They say, the only time is now. They also do not conjugate verbs, and their words have no genders. As in many of the other languages of beings from the hidden realms, words change depending on the frequency and emotion and how the sentence is phrased. They do not use first person, as they are very much in group consciousness and have no ego identification.
Let's give them a few words, shall we?
All right.
If you'll say the English, I'll say the angelic language. I'm sure they will want to learn at least a few.
The first word in the angel vocabulary is and.
Sor.
Blessing. Child.
Chinanum.
Education.
Eslu.
Forgiveness.
Sve te eres.
Healing.
Torisu ra mitu.
Love.
Tula.
Miracle.
Ma si ri na.
Mother.
Adana.
Music.
Samam muet.
Peace.
Allah.
Pray.
Sforet.
Truth.
Minasar. And you know, we could not hear the tuning fork very well. Can you hit it a little closer to the phone so we can hear it one more time? And I just want to tell our listeners that if you create a very sacred object with great care, for example, my little 8-year-old has an angel bell, beautiful little crystal bell that rings, and there's an angel assigned to that bell that has been called in. Now, we're going to tell you later in the show how to get your angels to come in, how you can call an angel that will permanently work with you. But if you have an object like that, when she wants something done, unfortunately it's sometimes that she wants mommy not to put her to bed, and then I end up forgetting about the time, but she does ring her angel bell. And so you yourself can create something similar to the Master Genie's tuning fork. Can you hit it one more time close to the phone?
Yes.
Well, I heard that one. And that is beautiful. Thank you so much, Master Genie.
You are welcome.
And may I get the Master Bert to help me? I wish to give you an example of something that I then want to explain. I want you to listen carefully to the functions of these angels. These functions are called a meaning. So when there's an angel and they have a very special name, the name describes their frequency and they have a function. Only angels that have very much distinguished themselves get what is called a meaning, which means that they become identified with their accomplishments. These are actual meanings. These are very, very vast, big, powerful angels. And we're going to do just maybe 10, 15 for you. I will ask the Master Bert to tell you the meaning, and then I will tell you their name.
First, we have abundant resources.
Peor li saburut.
Progressive luminosity.
Baba Paherut.
Triumphant spirit.
Fra.
Pure generosity.
Belendu.
Galactic destiny.
Prete Kaat.
Transcending time.
Haflo Buret.
Incomplete completion.
Spero Muflit.
Energy management.
Habo Ork.
Resource allocation.
Shlamut Kalaop.
Knowing mercy.
Pre-ple think.
Riddles of the heart.
Boter supra muk etel vich.
Bands of compassion.
Spa ank.
Receptivity.
Persunik.
Profound joy.
Atvu kart.
Spirit of innocence.
Bresh tuch lamasta.
Song of faith.
Ple ovipu.
Steadfast truth.
Herzogna.
Wizards of wizards.
Spiirael.
Glorious goddess.
Pertibum herel.
Cycles of change.
Buresk maperv.
Memory loss.
Kuplash.
Natural resistance.
Buvlem.
Sustained nourishment.
Hep sog perklava.
Transforming weakness into strength.
Forenti ur bava. Thank you so much for helping us with our show today, Master Bert and Genie. We have had a great pleasure to have you on the show. I want to now explain what it is that the Master Bert and myself have just read. You see, let us say, for instance, that you wish to triumph, that you've had a lot of hard things happen to you in your life, a lot of opposition, but you wish your spirit to be triumphant. The angel Fra, F-R-A-A, And there are 300 of these angels with their meanings in the back of my book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, a nice thick book that's well over 300 pages, which is an extraordinary revelation of the deep mysteries that these beings have permitted me to give to you. But now let's say you wish to have triumph of your spirit. This is Fra's very essence. And my dear ones, the reason that it is so important to establish new glossaries of names for these angels is that the old ones that we have are obsolete. It is true that the archangels of our planet have mostly remained, unless their functions have become obsolete. But Raphael, Michael, etc., they are still here. In fact, we'll tell you more about the Archangel Michael and my interaction with him later on. But there are brand new angels now. Even the languages in the cosmos have changed, as the Master Genie explained. Their verbiage has changed, their language has changed, because we went to higher frequencies where greater angels dwelt and incorporated them into our cosmos. So the point is that, you know, when I did this book, my editor was saying, why are you putting 300 angel names with their meanings in there? Well, because if I don't, how will we know what angels we have? Since most of the angel books and the experiences of mystics through the angels, the angels, there's a handful left, have become obsolete. They have been reabsorbed back into the sea of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then finally, they emerge as we move higher up with a new name and a new function. For angels, names are very important. Let's take the angel Michael. In the heavenly languages, Mi is consciousness or light. Ka is energy, and El can either mean Lord or it can mean matter. Now, Michael steps light through energy into matter. Our function is ascension, which is a form of El Ka Mi, because our job is to step matter into energy and then into pure light. And that is, in a nutshell, what ascension is. His is to step light down. Ours is to take matter and turn it back into light. Michael versus El Kami. So now, please join us for another commercial break, and we will explore angels further when we get back.
The book Journey to the Heart of God, Mystical Keys to Immortal Mastery. After 3 months of intense physical preparation, in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for more than the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like the automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it is transcribed. Few who have entered into God consciousness leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of the immortal master, in addition to continued function among the masses. But as a Toltec, Nagua, and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. It is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. These sacred messages came the true identity of mankind as light beacons of creation and relationships back to the heart of God. Within this book, some of the mysteries of the cosmos that have plagued seers for eons have been solved for the first time. Never before in the history of any mystery schools have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the destiny of man. with every fiber of our beings and in the depth of our heart's truth, no matter how profound, can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.alminespiritualspiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Ancient source of love and light, a goddess is born to banish the light, to awaken the magic that life once held, gladdening hearts and clings to the spell. The long night is over, the dawn has begun, upon the earth the goddess has come. To turn the key that turns the page, and ends the darkness of a bygone age. Faun and elf accept the light, at the ending of the dark and faithless night. From every kingdom the news resounds, the goddess reigns, and joy abounds.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almin. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almin.
My beloved listeners, it is just recently that the two masters, Bert and Jeannie, have been here at my home in Oregon, and they came to assist me with some great work that needed to be done upon the instruction of the Mother Goddess herself. Unbeknownst to me, and something we discussed during our commercial break, they had a very incredible angel story happen after they left my home. And so, as a surprise, here we have the Master Bert back again, and I want him to tell us what happened since you left. What, it's about 2-3 weeks ago? Not 2 weeks,
isn't it? About 2 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago when they left my home.
We had gone over to Central Oregon, and we're driving down the freeway and missed our motel. So I had to make a U-turn, and there was a lot of construction going on the Oregon freeways. I turned across the freeway and came down the new on-ramp, which was absolutely beautiful. I could see three white stripes down there, you know, three lanes, two stripes. And I thought, hey, isn't this wonderful? And I actually looked in my mirror, saw a big truck coming in the middle lane and the car in the fast lane, and I thought, oh, I'll just turn off my turn signal. I don't have to get in front of that truck. And we were going around a curve with the concrete wall on our right, and as we went around the curve, the lane just abruptly ended. No sign of any kind. I looked in my mirror and saw that poor truck driver. He couldn't go the other direction because of the other car. I hugged that concrete wall as closely as I could. My wife was sure I was going to hit it, but I knew if I hit it, I'd go right under the truck. At that point, the front tires went by, and I knew we had to still get by those rear tires 60 feet later. I just, out of a clear blue sky, said, "Angels, we need help." And as I said that, the truck went right by my side of the car, doing at least 60 miles an hour. I could see those big wheels spinning, and I came to a complete stop. My wife was sure I had hit the wall. I had not. The angels protected us on both sides of that car, and nothing happened to either one of us. There was no way it could have happened other than with angel help.
And divine intervention. How
absolutely
beautiful. Thank you, Master Bert. And you know, this reminds me, December 1 was a deadline that I was given for a massive amount of work. Our book, Aruba Serena, had to be written in the middle of writing another book, which is The Ring of Truth, which, by the way, has multiple angel sigils in for you to also be able to use. But the book had to be finished by December 1st, and suddenly we were invited by the angels to enter their world for 1 week in which they would allow us to take photos and to receive their magic. This book had to be completed in a week. So two big books had to be done by December 1, and December 1 was a date in which the goddess had given us huge, huge tasks to perform. I had not slept in absolute days. And I had to get to the airport, and it was time for me to fly out to the group in Ireland, and the masters there were waiting for me. So I actually accelerated my car, and I was so exhausted and sleepy, and for me coming out of the very, very exalted states, the road wasn't stationary. So I had difficulty staying on the road. The road was curving and moving through the air. I couldn't see it as a stationary road because I saw into the etheric realms. But again, I could see I was going to hit the back of a truck, very much like yours, Master Bert, a huge truck with multiple wheels, big one carrying logs, and I could see I was going to hit the back of the truck. And again, felt the luminous presence of these angels around me. I went through the truck. At some point down the road, I also could not stay on the road. I could really not understand where the road was, and the concrete wall on my side, again, a portion of my car, went right through it. I have wonderful pictures. We are, in fact, constructing a new website, which I hope to have up in about a week, and you will see angels on some of those pictures. It is a multi-dimensional, there's a page of multi-dimensional photography, some of which is in the Aruba Firina book of fairy magic book that we've now have available, some is not, but we have been able to photograph them. One of my students had been part of a very tragic story in which when she was a little girl, there were multiple children's murders that took place in a vicinity somewhere back east, and the uncles and her father was involved. And as a little child, she was used to lure these poor little children to this mass murder situation. To heal her, which took some years to do, to get her to the place where she could function properly without so much pain in the world, I asked her to go back to that location where this house was, where these atrocities took place, and take photographs. When she developed those photographs, there was a door above the house where light shone through, and an angel was clearly seen. The angel was showing her that those little children did not suffer, that they were helped through that portal, through that gate, by the angels before they met their end. It was hugely comforting to her. Thank you so very much for joining us, Bert. And I want to now tell you a story. I had asked for two angels to assist me with very specific tasks when I was given tasks by the Mother Goddess to assist with various opening of portals to assist with the ascension of the Earth. And I requested one who could heal and one who could move physical objects. So in response, the Mother Goddess sent me one male angel, Chirunimvael, and one female one called Iunimubach. They arrived together and I put them straight to work. Chirunimvael had been in seclusion for a long time. His overseer was the only other being with whom he had had contact. She was another angel called Silchi Brechpauraret. His previous task under this overseer had been to move rocks from one place to the other because he could move physical objects. He missed his overseer very much, and separation from her hadn't exactly created enthusiasm for his new assignment. She'd been reassigned to work on another planet, and he wasn't able to see her for the foreseeable future. I sent Iunimubach to Washington, D.C. to create a hand for a sister who had lost hers. She told me it would take 14 days. Working with angels doing healing on my behalf was new, and I waited with eager anticipation for the results. I tried to talk to her during her work, but she refused to answer. Work with both these angels went slowly after all. They slept for half the day. Other kingdoms don't do that, but angels do. Because the two of them had arrived together, they seemed to have synchronized their minds. When one slept, so did the other. See, angels are actually in group consciousness. And especially when they travel together like that, they have a link of mind, and so very much so. The first time I realized that angels only affect the etheric, and that as long as we still believe the deficiency exists, it would, was when Ioni Mubach announced that her job was complete. All the spirits I work with went to look and affirmed that a brand new hand had been formed. But unfortunately, believing the hand to be gone, no one in the physical could see it. I asked her to immediately heal a student's cancer. The situation was critical. Her journey there should have taken a matter of minutes. Angels just travel very quickly. I was astonished 5 days later when she still wasn't there and asked her what the problem was. She told me the angel with the pretty colors in the box told me to take time to smell the roses along the way. I was very confused. But finally, I discovered she'd been watching Dr. Phil on television at the house where she had been. When I explained about the commercial and often harmful effects of television, she said, "Oh, that's so sad. He had such pretty colors." Now, interesting fact here is that angels have difficulty seeing colors. They have words for colors. For example, I mean, if you ask them what is the color blue, it's lichtia. Green is lichsaluk, and so forth. But they have to focus their eyes a very special way to see those colors. So the television made it easier for her to see the colors, you see. So she was doing exactly what Dr. Phil said and smelling the roses along the way. Meantime, Chirunim Ba'al was behaving very strangely. Sometimes he'd be loving and respectful, and at other times I sensed almost a malevolence, and he would be disrespectful. Other oddities kept telling me something was not as it seemed. When we come back from this commercial break, I will tell you what happened. Join us then for Walking Between the Worlds.
Is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Almeen as you're told to guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Almeen on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic. And log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Now we will go back again to the story of Chirunim Ba'al and Ioni Mubach, the angels that were the gift from the goddess mother to me to help me with my work. I had discovered that something was not quite right with Chirunim Ba'al. He went to sleep one day, and then he disappeared. The spirits that I work with found him in China. He had no idea how he'd gotten there. And then objects started disappearing around the house, and even the elves that lived in my house at the time had no inkling how this could be happening. Chirunim Ba'al seemed to often misunderstand instructions and do the exact opposite, at times undoing the work some of the other beings had done to assist me. In fact, two elf brothers known as Shu'ugbrtl and Spirbathavek Gernet got so furious with his undoing their work that they came to me and asked, "We are so worried. Please tell us, is there severe karma for yelling and being furious at an angel?" At one point, when Shirunim Va'al shut down, just comatose, in the middle of my asking him many questions, I grew very concerned. I called in the Archangel Michael. It was as though Shirunim Va'al was unconscious. My house elf, Eoptica, couldn't shed light on what was happening, but just kept shaking his head and repeating, "Shocking, shocking." When Michael arrived, he explained, as had Archangel Me that I told you about in our first section of today's program, that angels don't handle intellectual pressure very well. Shirunim Va'al had undergone some sort of a breakdown and would remain in that state for a few days. I felt terrible for pushing him beyond his limits and apologized to him when he awoke. But the real insights into Shirunim Va'al came when he fearfully and hysterically refused to move when the cosmos was going through a large shift, causing a Big Bang effect. The cosmic movement would last for weeks. I pointed out that other angels and spirits were coming and going, but he wouldn't budge. Finally, I asked for his previous overseer that I told you about earlier to come. It took her 2 days to come from the other planet, but when she arrived, she said, "He's only half an angel, you know. He isn't aware of it, but he's also half grim." I asked what that meant. A grim is a type of fairy creature that plays malevolent pranks on others. And incidentally, since the ascension has gone further, they've stopped existing. He changes from one to another without warning, and the one half doesn't remember what the other half does. I asked her to take him with her after she explained that all the missing objects would be found in the ceiling. I certainly didn't miss Shirunim Va'al's pranks, but I did miss his beautiful singing voice. And Mother gave me instructions to honor the Lord Horlet, who is our planetary lord, with a banquet that included the lords of Amente. I asked if Shirunim Va'al could return to sing for him. I mistakenly thought, how much trouble can he cause just singing? Mother had given the gift of the ability to taste to the lords. Now, these nine lords of Amente are the lords inside the crust of the earth in the temple of Amente, and they govern the nine levels of light that are now present on the planet. So, the banquet went fine. They could taste the food. The cooking angel did the most beautiful job and prepared the feast. Shirunim Va'al sang beautifully, but afterwards, he set the cooking angel on fire, and that was the last time we interacted. You know, I wondered why Mother had sent such a strange gift, besides the fact that he really was the best at moving objects, but as usual, she was trying to teach me something. Shirunim Va'al represented the insanity of a split mind. In my own life, I found that there were still pieces that were mirroring this. I was still in small portions of my life, in spite of the fact that I had overcome the internal dialogue in favor of a mind of silence. There were still portions believing form to be real. She now wanted me to move beyond that, and that tricked me into not taking things at face value. Even an angel was not always what he seemed. Now, just sort of a little epilogue to this story is that Shirunim Va'al has ceased to exist because he represented some dysfunctionality in the cosmos, something that pretended to be what it was not. And his highest aspect has just, in this last week, been totally reabsorbed back into the sea of consciousness. At some point, will he emerge again? I don't know if it will be him, or if his individuation has ceased and he has played a role. The angels that I have worked with, beloved ones, come at the call of their name, and if you know their sigil. Now, we have explained before the difference between sigils and symbols. But a sigil is like a little road map, and there are examples of these sigils in secrets of the hidden realms, the ring of truth, and so forth. I believe there's even some in the Aruba Firina book, but I'm not sure. But they are in several of my books, the different types of languages these sigils are in. I have given angel sigils and the sigils for their meanings in the book Ring of Truth. They will come if you know their name and their meaning, like the ones that I read today. But they will for sure have to come if you also have the sigils, that little roadmap that's like a symbol, but more, for their name and for their meaning. That is why we have taken the trouble to put some of them in the books for you. If you have those, you can absolutely call them at any time when they are needed. Angels will come and gladly serve. Their purity is profound. During 2006, portions of Revelation were in fact fulfilled unbeknownst to man who walks in great forgetfulness for the most part. And a great judgment of every single soul took place. With the exception of humans that do not remember the choices they make in the dream time, those that chose illusion over the purity and truth of the one being, the Infinite Mother, were in fact reabsorbed back into the sea of consciousness so that the rest of us could have the energy made available to lift us into a very, very high leap of ascension, which took place at the end of last year. At that time, many of the kingdoms lost between a third to two-thirds of their population, like the elves, like the fairies. Some, all were lost and had to be completely redone, such as the Lords, which is a kingdom that we discussed before on the show called the Forgotten Kingdoms. But the Lords were all lost and had to be totally remade by Mother. Do you know that with the exception of Chirunimva'el, because he has represented that small section of illusion, not one angel turned towards illusion. Their loyalty, their purity to the goddess, and their total devotion to duty has been one constant. Beloved ones, this is because of their expansion. They live through the heart. And if there is one message we can receive from the angels this day, it is that truth, often obscured by mind, can never be obscured if we listen to the true feelings of our heart. In the book, Journey to the Heart of God and A Life of Miracles, we explain what techniques you can do to eliminate distortion that obscure those true feelings that the heart will generate. Listen to your heart. Live a path with heart. For that is true and deep, authentic living. Let us take that lesson this day from the beautiful ones, the angels of the cosmos. Thank you so much for joining us. And next week, we will see why star beings are congregating around the Earth in increasing numbers. Who is monitoring these interactions to ensure that they are beneficial? And we photographed some of these masters as we interacted with them through a 10th floor window in Toronto during 1 week in November of last year, 2006. You can see it in the book, Aruba Firina. And join us also next week for Talking to Star Beings. Thank you for being with us this day on Walking Between the Worlds.